This is Matt Webb.
So as we've been hearing in the news headlines, the coronavirus is having a big impact, not just here in the city, but it's also affecting people in South Cambridgeshire. And joining me on the line now is the MP for South Cambridgeshire. It's Anthony Brown. Thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 Radio this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
So, Anthony, just tell us about the situation in South Cambridgeshire at the moment. We know as Cambridgeshire as a whole, there have been 12 cases so far confirmed. That's the latest statistics that we've got. What do you know of what's been going on in South Cambridgeshire and how have people been coping there?
So, as you say, we've got 12 cases. It's actually comparatively low compared to most other counties, but it's clearly growing. The biggest issues that I've been faced with in the last couple of days are the impacts on businesses about the announcement over social distancing and people isolating. Lots of businesses, particularly in the hospitality sector, so pubs and restaurants, even events companies, have had a dramatic cut in income, some by over 90%. Some have actually lost all their income and either are having to close or starting to lay off staff. And it's really grim days for them, and it's really quite urgent. I've also heard of a nursery school that has also threatened with closure as parents take their children home away from nursery school. So the government is about to announce some measures. We've got a press conference in about half an hour with the Prime Minister and the Chancellor, and then there's a fuller statement later today. The Chancellor did obviously announce a package of measures in the budget just a week ago, £12 billion package, but things have really escalated since then, so I'm sure the package that they announce shortly will be far more wide-sweeping. But it's incredibly important that it can act quickly to help these companies.
Something that I did want to touch upon was I went out into a couple of supermarkets. They were in Cambridge, they weren't in South Cambridgeshire, and people were panic buying food. It still seems to be happening. I went out today and people were still trying to stock up on what's left. What would you tell people who are doing that? Because it is actually causing quite a lot of problems for maybe some of the elderly and maybe some of the needy people in the city in South Cambridgeshire.
It is. I mean, my message is the same that the government and the supermarkets have been given, which is please only buy what you need. There is no disruption to food supply. There is from the farmers themselves to the food manufacturers to the logistics companies to the supermarkets, there is no problem with food supply. But if everybody goes out and buys huge amounts, then it leads to empty shelves. It takes time for supermarkets to stock up. And in the meantime, there are shortages there for some people who might desperately need it. Like if people really, as you say, particularly to more older, vulnerable people who aren't so mobile, really can only go to their local shop, can't fight into the crowds, as it were. It really does cause problems to some people. So please, we can get through this. There is no shortage of food. We can get through it if we all work together.
There have been some criticisms of how Boris Johnson's been handling the situation. I've seen lots of comments on social media from politicians of various colours and different parties. I was watching the coverage in the House of Commons earlier, and Dominic Raab standing up, the Foreign Secretary, and people, some MPs not being the best behaved, let's just say. But I did notice that one of the SNP MPs was being quite consolatory over the whole situation. Do you think it's an important time that everyone comes together rather than using this as a political card to try and score points against each other?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a national emergency. We've had nothing like it since the Second World War. It's on a whole range of different fronts, the economic impact, the health impact, the potential impact on the fabric of society. And it's absolutely important that different political parties come together and don't play party politics. That doesn't mean the government shouldn't be held to account. And indeed, if people have got ideas of things that should be done differently, then absolutely say that. Matt Hancock, the health secretary, made the point just yesterday or the day before that he really wants to hear of anybody's ideas or suggestions of how we should do things differently. And indeed, the government has been listening to lots of different groups. One of the things that's happening behind the scenes that isn't so visible, but as MPs, we get huge input from our constituents all the time. We get hundreds of emails a day, and we're passing all that information on to relevant government ministers, to different officials in different departments, and trying to adapt and change policy to help people who are having difficulty in the circumstances. So the government is being flexible. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be held to account at all, but we shouldn't be playing party politics.
I was going to ask what some of your constituents have been saying to you. Obviously, you get people messaging you probably on social media, but also by email. What have their concerns been?
There are a very wide range of concerns, and we've had people who've been trapped overseas wondering how to get back to the UK, and the Foreign Office has been dealing with a lot of those cases. We have a helpline. You've got the number on my website if people need it, www.anthonybrown.org. There are people, as I said, the businesses that are where their customers just fallen off a cliff, that they're wondering about laying off staff or closing down, how they might survive. Events companies, galleries and so on. We've also had people particularly worried about what they should do with their children going to school. Should they take their children out of school? A particularly big issue if you've got a vulnerable relative at home, such as parents, such as grandparents who are elderly. You don't want the children to pick up infections at school and then bring it home. So there's a very wide range of different issues here that are affecting people in lots of different ways. And we are feeling our way through this. I mean, it is unprecedented. This has just not happened before, certainly in modern history. And we did have the slip flu epidemic in the Spanish flu epidemic at the end of the First World War. But obviously society was very, very different then, and we didn't have the modern health services that we have now. But what is happening now is unprecedented. It's affecting all countries. You obviously see the news, what's happening in different European countries, in as well as also China and the US. Really dramatic measures. But we are learning what works, what issues are rising. We're trying to adapt to the government. We're trying to adapt and move as quickly as possible, but also as flexibly, taking into account different people's concerns.
How concerned are you about the health service as a whole? Because there's been lots of questions being asked as to whether the health service can cope, and the reason why the government has been putting in the strategy it has is to try and sort of ease the flow, as it were, of coronavirus across the UK, so it doesn't just hit in one bout like we've seen, for example, in Italy. Are you concerned yourself that the hospitals, obviously Addenbrookes Hospital here in Cambridge, might struggle to cope with the demand that's going to be put on it? And what would you like to see the government do to be able to make sure that people can be seen, and we're not going to be seeing situations like we've seen in Italy with people trying to get into hospitals and they've been turned away?
Well, absolutely. This is obviously a very real concern across the NHS and government, and that is why the government's pursuing the policy that it's pursuing. So one is that really sort of clamping down this sort of semi-lockdown social isolation to try and slow the spread of the virus, and that has two impacts. One is that hopefully the peak, the number of maximum number of cases we hit at any one time, will be lower, but also it gives the NHS far more time to adapt and do things like, I mean, train up staff. A lot of staff are being retrained to deal with coronavirus. That takes a little bit of time. To procure equipment, so like the government is trying to buy 30,000 ventilator units. We've got 5,000 nationally. They're trying to buy those 30,000 in the next couple of weeks or so. There is a huge amount of work going on about it. I've been in touch with Addenbrookes, talked to them about their plans, and they've got a full sort of contingency plan. And hopefully, we will be able to cope if the spread of the virus goes according to the level that we now hope that it will go at. If it escalates any faster, then there may be problems.
And finally, your advice to residents in South Cambridgeshire at the moment. Obviously, the government are saying if you can work from home, do that. But what other advice would you have?
Do follow all the government advice. It's really, really important. It is advice, I mean, that we haven't, unlike France, haven't introduced punishments for people if they do leave their home against the medical advice. So it's really important that people do follow that advice. And one thing I'd say, the other thing is also look out for your neighbours. If you've got vulnerable neighbours, if you've got elderly neighbours who are self-isolating, if you know people who have trouble maybe going out to get food, to get meals, please look after. There are voluntary groups being set up in every village in South Cambridgeshire, and I'm sure Cambridgeshire as a whole. This is being led by district councillors and parish councillors. And if you can volunteer to help, then please do come forwards. You can either do it by contacting your parish council or district council, or by, if you go to my website, there's a facility there to put your name forwards, and then we'll make sure you're put in touch with the right people organising that voluntary action. But one other thing I'd urge people to bear in mind, I mean, this is extraordinary. We've suddenly woken up and found ourselves in some sort of Hollywood film, but actually it's real life. It is short term. It is temporary. We will get over it. That's the one thing that is absolutely certain about it. We will, at some point in the future, and hopefully not too distant future, look back on what's happened as just an extraordinary and painful episode, but just something that is in the past. And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this is temporary.
I think that's sound advice. Anthony Brown, the MP for South Cambridgeshire, thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 Radio on Drive. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Matt Webb.
Thank you for joining us on Cambridge 105 Radio for this coronavirus special. We're looking at the situation not just around the country, but also here in Cambridge, and to chew over what's been happening with regards to activities in Cambridge. I'm joined on the phone line by Daniel Zeichner. He is the MP for Cambridge. Thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 Radio this evening, Daniel.
Good evening.
So first of all, Daniel, just want to get your reaction to what the Chancellor has just announced, that he's planning to provide a £330 billion support package to help businesses affected by coronavirus. First of all, your thoughts on that?
Well, he'll be coming to the Commons Chamber, I understand, at 7 o'clock, and MPs will obviously be questioning him on this. Sounds like a big package. I guess the question that many people will be asking was, why wasn't that done yesterday or the day before? We seem to be playing catch-up a lot of the time, unfortunately. But let's see the detail, and we'll take it from there.
And so far in Cambridgeshire, there's been 12 cases of coronavirus that have been announced or been confirmed. What have the NHS doctors, nurses, Addenbrookes Hospital been saying to you with regards to whether they're prepared for possibly an influx of patients coming in?
Well, obviously, I'm in regular touch with senior people across the public services and in business across the city. I'm reassured that everyone in the health service is doing everything they can. But, of course, these are unprecedented times, and we have to remember that we go into this crisis with a health service that was already at full stretch with 100,000 vacancies across the service. So it's going to be a very difficult time, and certainly I'm hearing from some that they are extremely concerned.
And what have residents been saying to you? Obviously, you're quite active on social media. People have been emailing you. What have people's concerns locally been?
A mix, I have to say. I think one of the things people want is clarity, and I understand why it's hard for the government to give clear advice sometimes, but it does seem that the advice and the message has changed rather dramatically in the last few days. So I think ordinary citizens are seeking clarity as the best things to do, whether they should be wearing gloves when they go out, that kind of stuff. But for businesses, I'm afraid it's very, very clear. The recommendation from the Prime Minister yesterday that people don't go out to pubs and to restaurants was in some ways very difficult for businesses, because in some ways a clear instruction that they should shut would have made it easier in terms of the economics, insurance and situation and so on. And many small businesses in particular are absolutely right to be very worried about the threat to their livelihood, because they're not going to be able to survive for very long without major support. And I hope that the package that the Chancellor's in the throes of announcing at the moment and will be coming to Parliament to discuss with the MPs in an hour or two will provide the necessary help. But I suspect there are still going to be many people, particularly people, vulnerable people on short-term contracts, CRRs contracts and so on, who are going to be worried.
I take it you're going to be there. What questions are you looking to put to the Chancellor?
Well, I fear the chamber is going to be packed with people wanting to ask loads of questions. And I don't know, in some cases, hopefully, questions will be answered fairly early on. But I've got a list from hotels, from people running small businesses, from restaurants, from our councils as well, because I'm afraid the advice to councils hasn't been very clear and the money that's been promised hasn't come through. So it's a list as long as your arm. I'm afraid in Parliament on these statements you get generally one sentence. So it'll partly depend upon when I'm called and what has been answered beforehand. There's also a question, of course, as to whether MPs should be packed into a chamber close together.
I was going to ask that, actually. Has there not been concern? What contingencies have been put in place for MPs in the House of Commons and the House of Commons staff?
Well, those are very good questions. Many common staff are working from home now. My constituency office people are working from home as well. And Westminster is quite eerie and quiet. Obviously, the MPs themselves are still here. I'm a shadow minister, so I've got shadow ministerial responsibilities and need to be here. But my own view is that it would be more sensible if we broke with some of the traditions and maybe did something like had timed slots with the minister so we didn't have to have hundreds of people crowded together. I'm not aware of any proposals to do that at the moment from the government.
I just want to touch upon the local impact again. Obviously, we've had these whole series of different events and closures. The Cambridge Arts Theatre's shut on a temporary basis, the Literary Festival, the Spring Festival's been cancelled. And this is a big one. All events scheduled for the rest of March at the Cambridge Corn Exchange have been cancelled. Obviously, that's a very popular local venue. People were looking forward to going to see events, and obviously, they're going to have to stay at home now. What's your message for people when they see and hear about all these announcements and they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm actually going to be all right if I actually went? Why are they not putting them on? Why is this actually happening? What's the reasoning for trying to shut down all of these little local venues to try and contain the virus?
We've seen the evidence from Italy and other places that the health consequences for people can be very severe. Obviously, we would like the government to share more of the evidence with us, because the decision-making process, different people have come up with different potential solutions based on the same evidence. So it's hard to know quite why some decisions have been made, but I think the best thing that people can do is follow the government's advice at the moment. It's very disappointing, of course, that so many events are being cancelled, and I have to say that I think there will be unintended consequences from that, because to shut down a society in the way that we're doing will have effect on people, their mental health. It's pretty tough being isolated at home, and I think these are the kind of questions that MPs are rightly asking of government, because they're making very drastic, sweeping proposals, and we need to understand exactly what the evidence is that's based on.
I just want to ask you quickly about Cambridge City Council. Of course, Labour run Cambridge City Council. Are there preparations and everything in place for the City Council if, for example, the worst was to happen in Cambridge? What preparations are happening there? Have you been in contact with Lewis Herbert, for example, the City Council leader?
Well, as you can imagine, I liaise closely with Lewis. But as I said earlier, he too has concerns about the fact that money promised from government hasn't necessarily come through, and there's a lack of clarity on some issues. So whilst I'm supportive and Labour's supportive of the efforts the government's making, we also have questions to ask. And I think local government in particular has been so starved of resources over many years that they're not necessarily in the strong position they'd like to be able to deal with something like this. In the end, local government has a crucial role to play. But if you take 40% essentially out of local councils' budgets over 10 years, you don't leave them in a strong place and well-resourced to deal with these things.
Well, Daniel, thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 Radio this evening. Obviously not in the nicest of circumstances from what we normally talk to you about, but Daniel, thank you very much for joining me, and hoping to put some of our residents' minds at rest as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.